Today's show is brought to you by HelloFresh. Please visit HelloFresh.com and use promo code CADCAST30 to save $30 off your first week of deliveries when you subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADCAST episode number 501. I'm your host, GPD, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we're joined by a man who's just about ready to sell his Nintendo Switch, Wombat.
I have at least a week, right? A week?
A solid week of entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I had really had ran out of things to say, so I came up with that last minute. But we have some Switch news to get to later in the show.
Yeah, we're not that far along yet.
No, we still have to talk about non-video game things for like a half an hour.
And speaking of switching, Shipwreck's here.
Hello.
Hello.
We're not doing a video one this week, right?
Oh, we are. Where are you? No, I, you know, it was fun to do that. And I think that
I had a blast doing it.
I think we will do that again once in a while. The problem is that the Google Hangouts program, software, browser, I don't know what you call it, application, it messes with our microphone levels. It has something called automatic gain control, and you cannot turn it off. And while maybe it's fine when you're watching it on YouTube because you're not listening on headphones and you're distracted by our gorgeous faces, I think for those of us who are just listening in headphones, and most of you just listen to us in podcast form, it's a lot of extra work to get the audio to be sort of where I want it, because I have to go in and adjust the levels and throughout the show for everybody. And who wants more work? Not me.
Definitely not you.
Especially not me.
I don't mind this anyway. I got one hand up the nose, another hand down the pants.
Right. So, yeah. So I think maybe we could do it once in a while. It might be fun. Give you something to look forward to, but I think we'll stick with the audio only for now until the technology gets better or there's an easier way to do it, or I don't know. We have a
what
reason.
About every time we go get a haircut,
we feel like we're especially looking good,
right?
So now
let's coordinate our haircuts.
That's easy for me.
Similar to like women and menstrual cycles. Like,
yes,
we'll get on the same haircut cycle.
This is a great plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense to me. I mean, otherwise we're getting needless haircuts,
right? Or we're not. Yes. We're showing people when we're not at our best, and that's just dumb. But yeah, people seem to enjoy watching the 500th anniversary show, 500th episode. Show, but not enough people watched it that we're going to keep doing it every week. So, yeah. But before we get into
thanks for the people who donated as well.
Yeah, we made like $112, I think, or at some point.
Nice.
At some point that comes in, I guess. I don't know exactly how that works. But
what was the Kickstarter goal for that?
It was $7.
Did we make it? $7, okay.
The stretch goal was that we never do a video podcast again.
Did we hit it?
We nailed it.
Nice.
No, we'll see. But before we get into the feedback from last week's 500th episode show, I have some big news to break to you guys in support of my playing ping pong against younger players.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know that you all are very aware that there's some big sporting events going on right now, like the Stanley Cup playoffs and the World Table Tennis Championships in Düsseldorf, Germany. And right now, a 13-year-old boy has defeated the sixth best player in the world. The world. Do you understand what that means?
It's like the tri-state area.
The world. And, you know, two Japanese
people. So what you're saying is that that ping pong players are just, generally speaking, not that good.
No, obviously that makes
that
no sense.
That even the best is like, eh.
He could lose.
Or that it's a kid's game.
Yeah, it's just a kid's game.
Or it's a ageless game, I think is the point I'm trying to make. And he not only beat
like
him.
Like Mad Libs.
Right. you know, and not only beat him,
for ages 8 to 80.
When you lose, you get knocked out of the tournament. So he's done already.
Give me a proper adverb.
Youth. Defeat. I don't know. I can't come up with
those an adverb. Not an adverb. Neither one of those are adverbs. And I don't know what a proper adverb would be anyway.
That's just a made up thing.
Yes, that was a made up thing that I said, yes.
Anyway, so now that I proved that I am not some sort of weirdo for playing against children. Yeah, well, look. The evidence is clear. Feel free to make fun of me all you want. I get it that it's a good time for everybody. But the reality is there are kids who are really good at ping pong and can be the best players in the world. Unlike any other sport, basically.
So unlike any other sport.
Right. So table tennis is a sport like no other.
And chess.
Chess is not a sport, I'm pretty sure.
These are both board games.
No, you don't sweat.
They're tabletop games.
You do not sweat. You don't need a towel to play chess. Is what I'm saying.
Some people do.
Very obese people might need a towel to play chess.
You need a towel to do everything. Let's be honest here.
I don't even know what that means.
I've never seen you like not have a towel.
That's
like as soon as it gets to be above 70 degrees.
I learned that in Japan.
Uh-huh.
That's something that I picked up in Japan where it becomes, you know, 95% humidity from June to October. Everybody carries a towel with them. I actually don't carry a towel with me now that I'm in America because I don't want to look like a freak. But I certainly subscribed to that convention while I was living there. And you need it. I do not have a towel with me at the moment. I may have one with me at E3.
You will have one with you at E3.
If I remember, I will. Mm-hmm. Speaking of E3.
We're going to be in meeting rooms the whole time. You might not need it.
But it gets warm outside sometimes when you have to hoof it to various places.
Oh, that is true. The way the schedule worked out, there are going to be a couple sprints in between conference halls on this one.
I like how at the very beginning of you booking the schedule, you were very pessimistic. And you're like, I was even thinking like, oh, why did I even, you know, book this? Why am I even going? But at the end, but now that you're basically done with the schedule, you've got us appointments that I don't think we've had for years.
Yeah, I came through.
You did.
I heard I wasn't coming.
How did that even happen? What do we think of the reason that we got these appointments are? It's not certainly not because
cancellations.
I don't know if it was necessarily cancellations in all venues, but I don't know. I was polite. I think that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I also. I know a fair amount of these people by now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm just like out of nowhere asking them about stuff.
Some random redheaded freak emailing them out of the blue.
I kept my expectations.
Which is his email address, randomredheadedfreak@gmail.com.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, we got all the big ones pretty much.
Yeah. Let's...
We didn't get Nintendo because I did not even remember to ask Nintendo.
Well, it seemed like a waste of time even asking, but in a bit, maybe with, you know, you want to keep the train rolling.
Right. I'll shoot it out in an email to Nintendo.
So you should, you know, take a victory lap and throw out some of these big names that you've booked.
Oh, we got Activision, which we generally get Activision every year.
Right. That's not that unusual.
No, we got Warner Brothers for the first time in a few years.
Nice.
We got Ubisoft. For the first time in a few years. And it's a late Thursday appointment for Ubisoft, which the last time we had one of those is when we met Major Nelson at the booth, just like said hi. And then he like took our spot in line.
Right. Well, I mean, he didn't do it. The Ubisoft PR people gave him.
Right.
Our
they
spot.
Made the right choice. The Ubisoft PR people made the right choice.
Right. That would have been dumb to let us go instead of the crew from Microsoft. It wasn't just him. It was like their whole.
Right. Concept. Right. It was just us getting shut out.
It was very funny. It was worth it just for the story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, Major Nelson's here. Oh, he's going to that room and we're still standing outside of that.
But
room.
We talked to him for like a little bit first and we're like,
right. Like while we were all waiting.
It was great.
Oh, you going into this? Yeah, I am. Nope. See you later, Matroness.
It was worth it. It was totally worth it. So that could happen again, and it would be ideal if that happens again.
Right. We got PlayStation appointments,
which is crazy. I think the last Sony appointment that I remember getting was, it was the one where it was like 3 hours in a row of appointments or something like that. You go from room to room, and it was,
that was like the first year I went when it was small E3.
Yeah. And it was like with, what was the game there? It was the first Insomniac game for like the after Ratchet and Clank.
Infamous?
Infamous. It was Infamous, I think. So it was quite a long time ago. And those appointments are very boring, but everybody was like sleeping in the appointments, but that was the last one. So, you know, how many years ago was that? I mean, it's crazy.
Meanwhile, while you were in those appointments, I was just like playing every game that was at E3 that year because right. nobody else was there.
Right. That was the invitation only year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Where it was only in like the small concourse hall.
Right. And I lost my video camera in a cab.
Right.
Right.
And literally we could just, like, I remember the first day we went there and it was just like, yeah, all these games are in this room and you can just walk straight up to them and play them. There's like no lines for anything. I remember Too Human was there.
Yeah, right. There was no way to apply for any sort of media bag right. to get in. It was just like, don't call us, we'll call you. Mm-hmm. And somehow they called us. And then somehow I left my video camera in a taxi because the taxi guy had weed and he let me smoke it.
Good times.
Yeah, it was good.
So, yeah, it's going to be – and you got us into a Microsoft event as well.
That's right. That one we've gotten into in the past. You have good luck. Thanks, you know, because Major Nelson hooks it up and and Jeff.
Because he feels bad about that Ubisoft.
Yeah, so we got that going on. What else is exciting? Are those the big ones, really?
There's a lot of good.
I'm excited to see all the t-shirts that GPT brings home for me.
We're going to all the press conferences.
I mean, the major,
Microsoft and Sony. That's as far as
I'll be home watching those on TV.
Yes. Yeah, it should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. Here's some questions from the listeners about E3 while we're talking about E3. Say E3 some more. At Cavaccino asks, what are you guys excited to see, learn more about at E3?
Video games?
VR. All VR, basically. Just like,
I managed to book an entire schedule without any VR.
Imagine that. Yeah, I did get some emails about VR stuff, but I could
say some of those pitches, I'm not going to name names or go into details or anything, but some of those pitches were literally just like, hey, we have a VR game. Like, not even like telling you what kind of game it was.
Do you think because they're just saving time because you either want to see a VR game or you don't? Like, you may have a no VR rule going?
It could be. But it's so weird how that has already like kind of shifted away in just a year. Like, Oculus isn't even there this year.
I don't think that's a shocking thing at all. I think we pretty much said that.
Well,
here we go.
Sure. I meant weird as in we were right.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
it's weird.
Like, we kind of knew that. I don't know what's so shocking. Us being right is shocking. Yeah, I'll give you that.
To answer this guy's question, I would say I'm really interested to see the Sony first party lineup.
I want to see that Spider-Man.
Hell yeah.
Give me that Spider-Man.
Yeah, all the Sony first party stuff, the Days Gone. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. The biker one?
Yep.
I'm excited to see Xbox Scorpio and see what's going on with that.
I'm excited just to see what's going on with Xbox's booth. Because it's very scaled back this year. And I don't know. I don't have like a real strong feel of what they are going to have to show.
Usually,
they may just be showing third-party stuff. They don't have that many marketing deals with at least none that I could think of off the top of my head at this point either.
It is weird that they have a smaller booth. Like, why bother having a smaller booth? I'm sure they could spend the extra few bucks to have the normal size. I mean, their booth is normally very large and has a lot of stuff packed with stuff. Maybe not as big as Sony's, but close, right? Now it's not. I don't know.
Maybe they're going to announce that this is the last year for video game support and just go back to making software.
Right. They're dropping Scorpio and they're like...
Yeah, like, okay, and this is it. This is the last one. Scorpio, so enjoy it. Enjoy it, you jerks.
Scorpio can run Microsoft Excel in 4K. That's all you need to know.
Get those formulas ready.
At Yael Osos wants to know, says, give us some way out there E3 predictions.
Microsoft's giving up on the games business.
I'm still sticking with my Destiny 2 is going to run at 60 frames per second on Scorpio. That they're saving that for the, they're going to drop that at the press conference and get a lot of applause from the people in the audience. I don't know. It's not going to really mean anything in terms of sales, probably, but nerds will clap for it. That's all I got, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like a hardware year, really.
But it is, though, with Scorpio.
Kind of.
Right.
I don't know. Like them having to say that existed last year just to take some of the piss out of the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One S, I guess.
Well, they didn't have a lot of piss for themselves to pass around, so they had to.
Right. They were mainly looking to take other people's piss. But I mean, Scorpio, there's not a lot that they could say that would be that surprising about it, right?
They need, if you want to talk about what I think the key for Scorpio is they need to convince people that it's not going to be like PS4 Pro and they're going to have to somehow
it's going to be more expensive.
And sell fewer.
It might not be more expensive. It'll probably be $400 by the time it comes out. That seems like fairly reasonable, I guess. I think they need to convince people that they're going to take a more active role in helping third-party publishers put out games that support it. I mean, like, take advantage of it, not just support it. Because Sony has not done a good job with that. And I think the word is out on that. So, yeah.
Probably show a Halo trailer.
But yeah, that wouldn't be too surprising. All right,
I think Ubisoft's going to announce Ubi Access, and it's going to be a PlayStation 4 exclusive program.
Like EA Access?
Yes.
And Steep 2 is going to be the first game on it.
Probably. Assassin's Creed 1.
All right, let's do some show feedback from last week's show. Go for it.
Am I doing this?
Do it.
Okay. Campos63 has to say... Cheapy, were you standing in last week's CADcast?
I'm always standing at this computer. I'm standing right now.
I'm still standing.
I don't even have a chair near here.
Like a true survivor.
I'm surviving and standing.
Looking like a little kid.
Keep going. Don't stop now.
I'm still standing.
No, I meant with the questions, not with
all
the singing.
This time. Oh, sorry. Life is Good 72 has to say, do the three of you see yourselves doing the CADcast for another 500 episodes?
It's a lot of episodes.
I'd be 50 years old.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that.
50. You're going to be what, 70?
Hey, I'm 3 years older than you.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
The math may not check out there. Let's just say that we're going to do more episodes and there's no plans to stop at a specific number. Who knows what's in store?
Next step. It's HXT. I thought that was an N.
Yeah, pronounce that. There's no vowels in it.
Hexed step has to say... It's so cool to be able to put faces to the voices I've heard on all 500 episodes. I couldn't get all the way through this episode immediately because I broke a couple of ribs in an ATV accident this weekend, and you guys make me laugh way too hard, which makes the pain worse. Bad for me, good for you guys. Here's to another 500.
Aww. My parents watched it, too.
What'd they think?
They liked it.
There you go.
My dad always says that he learns more about my life from listening and watching the CADcast than from talking to me.
I don't think my parents have listened to an episode since maybe like the first 50.
I believe that my parents usually listen to the beginning because once we get to the video game stuff, they, you know, they lose interest.
Right. Once I start talking.
Then... yeah. They just don't know what we're talking about, basically. All right. Go on.
And Gota has to say, wow, I've been listening since CADcast 18 and watching the video was a completely awesome experience. I really hope you make this at least a semi-regular occurrence. I've always thought of the CADcast as being similar to the Howard Stern show, and that I also did well for years with Howard TV. The video really adds something interesting and different. what did I just do?
What happened?
I messed up.
Erased it?
Yeah. But interesting and different. Keep up the fantastic work. I hit a button.
Yeah, I think semi-regular sounds okay.
Yeah.
Monthly like or bi-monthly or I don't know. Keep in mind Howard Stern.
Patreon's what?
Right. Just keep in mind Howard Stern canceled Howard TV. So that's not a thing.
Wasn't that after he made a motion picture though?
They made the movie came out
first. We're not quite to that point yet, are we?
Yeah, the movie. Look for the movie soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to Watch This Bitches. I watched a good movie on HBO, an HBO original, they like to call it, Wizard of Lies, starring Robert De Niro and Michelle Pfeiffer. It's about Bernie Madoff and that whole thing.
I know. I wanted to see it, and just I mean, I know what happens, obviously, and it just seemed very depressing to me.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I knew the very, you know, just the not the specifics. I just knew the broad.
Well, you were out of the country at the time.
Exactly. I would imagine anybody who was living in New York, the New York area, would be especially focused on it.
Yeah.
But it's great watching Robert De Niro in a not shitty movie, which doesn't happen too often anymore.
Was Kevin Bacon in it? Does he like play himself or something?
No, he's not in it. Okay, I know.
Because he lost a lot of money in that.
I know he did. You have to. Have you listened to the Jay Thomas interview with him?
No. Does he talk about it? I assume he talks about
it. You have to. It's one of the most awkward pieces of radio that you'll ever hear because Jay Thomas tries to ask him some questions about it and Kevin Bacon just wants to promote his movie and obviously not talk about the thing that, you know, devastated his savings, basically. Mm-hmm. And Jay Thomas tries to, like, give some like really false equivalents of something that happened to him that is nothing, not even close to the scale of what happened to Kevin Bacon. And Kevin Bacon doesn't even say anything because it's just so insulting to even try to bring something up that matches that. You should just, you know, sir, maybe I'll remember to put that at the end of the show if I'm smart.
That's okay.
Yeah. What else?
I saw the Jason Bourne movie that came out last summer.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Jason Bourne.
I've heard of it.
It was not very good.
That's why I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. I mean, if you're home and it's on TV, then, you know, that's a good reason.
Or on an airplane.
Yeah. You know what else we've been watching, Elliot and I? Mm-mm. We've been watching Justice League Action.
Well, I never even heard of it.
It's just the new Justice League cartoon that's on Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It's cute.
I don't like the sound of cute.
Well, it's cute like Shipwreck could watch it with his daughter.
Yeah, which we've watched an episode of it.
Yeah.
We're just watching those Lego Batman movies, the made-for-DVD ones, like just on the constant rotation right now.
See, I figured this could get a little bit of
Scooby-Doo meets Batman as well.
That's good, though, Scooby-Doo meets Batman.
It's good. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with that. But,
no, I'm fine with goofy Batman. Mm-hmm. Because he's silly to begin with.
I'm still upset that they took Batman Brave and the Bold off of Netflix. Because Sabrina and I used to watch that. That was her thing. She used to watch it all the time. And she sometimes still asks if it's coming back to Netflix. And I'm like, I have no answer for you, but I don't think it is. I guess I could buy them all on... something, but the seasons are expensive. Still,
I don't think they are.
Wow,
I think I saw them on Amazon for pretty cheap.
Okay, yeah. If I wanted, I don't know. There's something. There's the ease of Netflix. Is still, you know, the her being able to watch it on her iPad in her room or wherever was nice. But what can you do? Not much, I guess.
Right. At and Junico writes in and says, last year with Ghostbusters, there was a big Yes We Can push for the debut. Has there been any buzz around the Wonder Woman premiere?
What kind of dumbass question is that?
It's gotten good reviews. Unlike the Ghostbusters movie.
This I know, but why is someone asking us how we feel if there's a feminist agenda around the Wonder Woman premiere?
He didn't ask that.
That's yeah, the
that's
yes
we can.
Can.
Oh, it is?
Yes. Not to it. Which I say, I don't know.
There's been some of that because they have like those women's only showings of it that are...
Yeah, in the Alamo Draft House.
People complaining about that is maybe the lamest thing ever. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand like how you could complain that there's a woman-only show about a movie called Wonder Woman. It's just
I'll say this much. The boys in my son's class
are
big into Wonder Woman.
I bought my tickets already. I'm going Sunday.
Yeah. They're very big into Wonder Woman. They even do the whole thing where they'll spin around and go, Wonder Woman.
Real, they don't do that.
Yeah, I swear they do.
Oh, how do they know about that?
Elliot's watched Wonder Woman with me on MeTV. It's on every Saturday.
How do those episodes hold up?
The good ones hold up. The bad ones are more fun to watch.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited. I'm watching it. I'm going for IMAX again. I had such a good experience at the 3D IMAX with Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going right back to the same theater.
Awesome. Let me know how it is. I would love to see it this weekend. It's just not in the cards.
Got it. All right. How about some listen up, bitches? There's a new podcast in town that I know that Ship and I have both listened to.
I listened to it too.
Oh,
good.
It's called The McElroy Brothers Will Be in Trolls 2. And it's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny.
My mouth hurt after listening to two episodes in a row on the train because I was smiling the whole way to Manhattan.
I think the second episode is better than the first.
Definitely.
But they're both short. And if you're interested in the McElroy Brothers or Trolls 2, I guess that's the podcast for you.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but...
No, they're short. Go listen to them.
Yeah.
We know those guys. They're good guys.
And they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
I also started a slightly more serious podcast called The Grift. Do you know that one, Wombat? I feel like that's sort of up your alley. Oh. It's about con men, a.k.a. grifters.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the first two episodes, and they're pretty good. The first one's about... a card shark and dice manipulator. And the second one is about a guy who does amazing painting forgeries and would try to sell them to like auction houses like Christie's and made like a huge amount of money doing that. So it's called The Grift. It's pretty good. How about some new releases?
Wow, we're just getting there. Look at that.
Yeah, we're
busy. Not a whole lot this week. I know, Cheapy, you've tried Danger Zone, which is the Burnout Crash Mode game.
Yeah. The problem, you know, we know what Burnout Crash Mode is because we all played it in the Burnout series and we liked it a lot. The problem is...
It's where you drive a car and it's kind of like puzzle-y and you try to blow up as much stuff and get points.
Exactly. The problem is they took the most basic version of that and didn't add anything to it. So I remember there was I forget which iteration of Burnout had it, but there was like Crash Party, right? That was like a multiplayer version mm-hmm. where you pass the controller around and seems like there was different variations of on the theme. While this is just the most basic, you know, crash mode with nothing, no multiplayer, local or online, just this is it. And I played like two or three levels and I was like, I think I'm good. I know it's only $13 and that's not a lot of money, but it's just, it's a very meh experience in 2017, which is disappointing because I really wanted to like it a lot.
It's really amazing how we don't have burnout.
Yeah. How did that happen?
It's so weird.
How did we get Star Wars VR that's like a 10-minute game, but not a burnout, another burnout game?
If it was Star Wars Burnout, you'd have a shot of getting burnout.
Like with land speeders?
And I would totally play Star Wars Burnout.
Land speeders and tauntauns?
Whatever. They've made Star Wars racing games before. Like two of them.
Three of them.
What was it? Bombad? Pod Racing?
Pod Racing Revenge.
There you go. I didn't realize it was two of those. So, yeah.
This sounds like an E3 prediction.
There you go. Yeah. You go. Star Wars Burnout.
It's coming.
That's coming. Coming soon.
It sounds pretty good.
I would totally. Don't tell me you wouldn't be excited for that. Because if you say you're not, you're lying.
No, you'd put all the vehicles in there. Like, no matter how ridiculous.
It was pretty much the end of one of the movies. So, they could totally do that.
Yeah, even like the
Death Star races.
Mm-hmm.
Just where everybody just has a Death Star.
Even the animals explode when you hit
them. Everything explodes. And you could just, you know, you could be that, like a TIE fighter that goes right into the bridge of a Star Destroyer.
It could work.
Like, you're how about this? You're
passing those guys that are in the towers watching the ships go
you're
by.
In the Millennium Falcon and you have to push TIE fighters into Star Destroyers. So it's got like that kind of a physics-y thing going on.
I like it.
Yeah, it totally works. Mm-hmm.
All right, what else we got this week?
Other than us coming up with billion-dollars ideas for EA.
Well, right.
Right, it's almost like we invented a game that's better than all the rest of these new releases. Let's see. I guess Rime technically came out this week. That was the game that I talked about last week that's the... eco journey type game. Yeah. I played a little bit more of that since last time. It's really good.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. It looks pretty interesting. Cute.
Yeah, I think you might be into it, Cheapy, because you like those kind of, I don't know, esoteric games.
Yeah, if Mrs. Cheapy would watch me play it, I would play it. I'm not sure that she would be interested in that, though. But I'll have to throw it by her. See what she's got to see what she says. What else?
I guess that Friday the 13th game came out as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
getting the best reviews.
It seems like it needs some patches. Is what?
Yeah, I heard there are major server issues, at least on the Xbox.
Yeah, that seems to be a universal thing, actually.
So hopefully they patch that game up.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Locke's Quest, the weird reissue of Locke's Quest on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and that was originally a DS game.
I saw Jim Sterling complaining about this new version. Basically, said they ruined it.
Okay,
for what that's worth, because he loved that game. I know he said
it was a great little game. It was you had your tower defense. Strategy RPG thing going on.
I'm trying to remember it.
This is by Fifth Cell.
Okay.
It was a pretty good game back in the day.
Sure.
Just weird to see it come back. Anything else?
Yes.
What else?
Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Oh.
Is
that like the card game, but you play against Kirk and Spock?
Exactly. No, I mean, this, honestly, if I had a friend or two that had...
Just stop right there.
Right. If I had a friend or two, that would be nice, and I'd be much happier. No, I would be into this, because it seems like the reviews are pretty good. I like Star Trek a lot, but you get the most value from it and enjoyment if you have friends who you can play with and talk to while you're playing it. So not only do I need to have a friend, but I need to have a friend who has VR And I need a friend who is into Star Trek. So there's a lot of factors that are working against me here. But
yeah.
I am interested.
I like Star Trek.
You don't have VR.
I don't.
See, we hit two out of the three there.
Yeah, I know.
You're my friend, and you like Star Trek.
Yeah. But
no VR.
Mm-mm.
Shipwreck also has no VR.
And I'm wishy-washy on Star Trek.
Right. And I have a friend who just visited me last weekend who, for some reason, bought PlayStation VR, like, basically for his son. His son asked for it, and he folded.
I think he told us that story.
No, this is a different guy. The other guy definitely did not buy the VR. Oh,
okay. Anyway.
But he doesn't give a shit about Star Trek. So he's not, you know, there's no point. It sounds like if you're not into Star Trek, you're not going to really enjoy the game that much. So I don't know. Maybe if some CAGs hit me up and they get it, we could do something. But
it's a $50 game.
That's expensive.
I could wait a little bit also till it gets cheaper. Yeah.
And then you'll give it all she's got, Captain?
I would love to do that. It looks cool. I watched the video of it. I mean, it looks good. All right, what else? Anything?
I guess for the Switch, the big release was Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challengers, which has not been getting good reviews.
Fantastic, then.
Mm-hmm. $40 for Street Fighter 2. Everybody jumping at the chance.
Right. Get it. All right. How about a word from our sponsor, HelloFresh? Now, we're in the unique situation that all of us are doing HelloFresh now.
Yep.
Wombat just signed up. For those of you who don't know what HelloFresh is, it's a meal kit delivery service. So they send you all the ingredients and the recipe. You choose from depending on how many meals you order a week, you get more choices, more meals to choose from, the more you order per week. But you always have a choice. And then once a week, a box shows up with all your meals in it and the recipes. And you just, you know, you cut up the ingredients and cook them and follow the instructions.
The easy to follow instructions.
They are pretty easy.
Yeah. So, you know, don't feel overwhelmed by the fact that you're getting a box full of ingredients and not something and not all prepared foods. And you honestly, you can totally taste the difference. And the fact that everything is fresh, hence the name, in making these meals. Because, you know, I've had it for the last two nights. I've had HelloFresh meals, and they were delicious. So,
what did you have this week?
I had the sesame shrimp, which I know you also had this week.
I made that two nights ago.
Two nights ago, yeah. That's what I had last night, so not tonight. And it was super good and super yummy. And that one was – that's a very easy to make one. I mean, that one, it's essentially rice, shrimp. I already forgot what the vegetable was.
Green beans.
Green beans, yes. And that's a good, quick, easy, simple recipe. The one I had tonight was probably a little more advanced, maybe. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it was still delicious. I mean, we did a good job. We are also advanced chefs in my house.
Of course. I'm not.
yes. We had the prosciutto tartines.
Aha. I did not choose that one this week.
Which, for those who don't know what that is, that would be prosciutto and ricotta cheese on a piece of toast. And it had like a potato hash. It technically is a breakfast, but we had it for dinner. And it was delicious, and I don't care if it's supposed to be a breakfast because it was awesome.
Yeah, they have a breakfast option now, so you can choose one of your meals. They have like, I think two. Well, for me, I order three meals a week, so I think there's two breakfast options to choose from. I'm not 100% sure on that, but there's like seven dinner options or something. Like, you get a lot. They expanded the amount of dinner options.
Yeah, we do three a week, and I want to say that it was like, is it nine options all in?
It could be. I think it's something around that.
All I know is, you know, and I got a lot of remarks on this, is my wife and I coming up with our choices of the nine. We spent like an hour and a half.
Really?
Yeah. Looking at each one, reading what the ingredients are, seeing what we want to cook. And it wasn't because we didn't like them. It's because we liked them all.
Right. They all look good.
Yeah. So it's it's fun. It's exciting. We have our menu all set up for next week.
We'll it's healthy. You get healthy stuff. And you know, because you're making it, you know exactly what's in it. And I don't know. Ty loves it. I made the chicken pineapple quesadillas tonight.
Oh, I just got those in the mail today.
It was
that's one of those things that I don't think my wife would touch.
Why?
I also learned things about my wife I didn't know. I never knew that my wife did not like Monterey Jack cheese until I said, hey, should we get the Monterey Jack cheeseburgers? And she said, I don't like Monterey Jack cheese.
It's just cheese. Like, what's the difference?
I don't know. And I don't ask questions.
At least it made, that's, you figure like with things like that, it wouldn't take you an hour to choose the meals.
You welcome to my world.
I just handed over the keys to Gretchen and I just, whatever comes in the mail comes in the mail.
Right. Let her do it. I've been doing this since December now, nonstop basically. So I'm actually getting pretty good at putting this stuff together. I got it streamlined.
It's really great because everything is portioned, you know, for the most part. So there's no waste as far as you're not putting stuff back in the fridge after your meal.
And the hardest part, I think, about cooking dinner for your family is like planning the meal and then going shopping. It's like that's what takes the most time. And you don't have to do that. It's all done for you. It's also less than $10 a meal, which is great. A lot cheaper than eating out. And if you go to HelloFresh.com right now and use the promo code CADCAST30, you'll save $30 off your first week of deliveries when you subscribe. I tell everybody about this. I got my parents doing it. I've got, I don't know. I've got a lot of different people signed up for this because I always tell everybody about it. I love it. It's really like changed our life. You know, we used to eat out. It's a lot more. So yeah, HelloFresh. It's awesome. Do it. All right, let's move on to multi-platforming and Wombat's Overwatch Onslaught and other gaming news and stuff. There is some Overwatch news, Wombat, this week. Beyond,
I saw there's a new map.
Yes, it's a lunar map. You know where that takes
now,
place?
Now, how many points does it have? Is it A, B, and C, or did they add a D?
Well, it's not out yet, so I don't think we have all the details, but I'm going to guess that it's exactly the same as the other maps. So we're looking at A and B here. The difference with this map is that there is a low gravity area because it is on the moon. And while the whole map is not low gravity, there are certain parts that are.
So Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
No, certain parts. Not the whole thing.
Right.
Oh, is that what
so like
that?
Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
Well, does it have Objective A and Objective B?
I think it has more objectives.
Too many
objectives. Like a whole story for you to play.
That sounds
and
like
more
a
guns.
Lot. Too many. Too many guns, too much story. You just want A and B and just be done with it. I'm looking forward to that. At Dan Hacker writes in and asks, how's your luck going with the anniversary loot boxes? Because my luck is awful. I mean, I've been tweeting out some of my horrible loot boxes that I've won lately. The last one that I opened was so disgustingly horrible that I couldn't even bring myself to take a picture of the screen and post it because it was just like three horrible sprays and a player icon or something. Just shit. I did start playing competitive mode because the season just started again. Because I'm looking for some new things.
So do you also play against children in this game?
Yes, but you also play with them as well, not just against.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how the season goes. I'm still placing. You have to play 10 matches first before you get your placement. I don't really know what that means, but
so let's take a bet right now. Are you going to place higher in the rankings for Overwatch, or do you rank higher in ping pong?
I'm not good at either, to be honest. It's not. I'm probably I don't know. It's not, you know, I'm not particularly
I'm not
proud.
Saying you're good at either. I don't recall that being part of my wager.
I don't know how you could compare the two because they're not using the same ranking system, I'm pretty sure. So I don't really know how to quantify that. I'm just going to go and say that I'm not going to be impressive at either. Even though I did get two play of the matches last night before I went to bed in the two games that I played. So, that is that. In some video game shopping news, Amazon announced that the 20% off discount that they have for Amazon Prime members no longer will apply Toys of Life. Toys to Life.
Toys of Life.
Joys of Life and special products, like collector's editions and stuff. So that's kind of disappointing.
Unless you have a Best Buy near you, and then who cares?
Yeah, Best Buy was always a better situation, no matter what, because it applies to every game, not just new games. Every game that's not digital, of course, but yeah. It doesn't expire when the game is no longer new, and you can stack them with other promotions and get really good deals. So the Gamers Club Unlocked was always superior, and now it's a little more superior. Let's see here. At Darwin Loves Devo writes in and asks for our thoughts on the Far Cry 5 trailer. Have you seen like the extended trailer? Not that teaser that they announced last week, but like the, it's like 5 minutes of stuff going on. Did you watch that at all?
Yeah. Yeah. It looks interesting. Awesome. It looks Far Cry. This is not a Far Cry I haven't played. So it's not like, you know, you don't have to twist my arm on this. Does the setting interest me? Yes, significantly. So there you go. It's interesting knowing that you can make your own character in this game, which is a nice.
Oh, cool!
Twist.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So.
All right, I'm really looking forward to it, but of course, it's not coming out till next year.
So yeah, it comes out in February, so there's a long time before maybe. We have to really start thinking about it.
Exactly, but it looks good. It looked really good from what I've.
Yes, seen. Sir.
What else we got here?
I'm still playing some Portal Knights. I finally got the co-op going with Mrs. Shipwreck on that. Mm. That's a pretty good co-op game. It's split screen, so you can both be off doing kind of your own thing at the same time as playing a co-op game. But it's very much Minecraft with a purpose. So it's pretty solid, I think.
All right.
Yep. And then I also finished Skylar and Pluck's Adventure on Clover Island, since I know you were waiting to hear if I finished that or not.
You read my mind.
Uh-huh. Skylar and Pluck's pulled through.
It was good?
So Mrs. Shipwreck was watching me play this, and she was commenting on how the graphics and the dialogue were not quite up to par, like with modern games. It very much looks like a PS2 era platformer. And coming off of just playing Yooka-Laylee, which has high production values for that type of game, I would say. Like, I was like, yeah, I don't know. This game was probably made by like 5 people or something. And sure enough, the credits roll, there's like 6 names on this game that made this game. So like, given that, it's hard to really be too critical of it, because clearly these people have a passion for making a PS2 character platformer type game, and they did it, and it's playable. It's not bad. Like, I enjoyed playing most of it. It's easy.
They should put that on the back of the box. It's not bad and easy. It's not bad. It's easy, and I enjoyed playing most of it. Right. Shipwreck, cheap ass gamer.
It's got the one thing it does. Like, you get different powers. The best power is a like slow down time power.
It's always the best,
right? So you can go in and out of slowing down time, like really quickly, and so you can like be beating up guys and slow down the time and like dodge the missiles and everything. And then you can like switch to like your magnetic power, and most of the things you're fighting are robots. So then you can either snag a missile out of the air that they threw at you and throw it back at them, or you can just like pick them up and use them as kind of like a battering ram or a battering ball type of thing to knock around the other robots. So it's got some cleverness in there. It very much, you can tell that it's made by six guys or 6 people. I don't know if they were all guys.
Got it. All right. Skylar and Plux. Oh, we had a breaking Twitter comment from @KingPong. He said, I don't think you've mentioned on the show that you don't get to choose your opponent in a table tennis tournament. Your only choice is to play or forfeit. So yeah, keep that in mind. I'm not seeking out the young players.
No, you're hoping to get a young player.
Not really.
You sit really there, hands down your pants, just hoping.
He also says he does enjoy the good-natured ribbing that you guys have given me, so it doesn't really matter. You want to play players that are a little better than you, ranking-wise, because otherwise your ranking doesn't go up. Mm-hmm. So if I play like a 10-year-old kid who sucks, even if I beat him, it doesn't really do anything for me because my ranking, I guess I could go farther in the tournament, but my ranking won't be affected and you want more ranking. All right, let's move on to Nintendo.
Yes, I want to talk about how this Switch Online service, this Nintendo-ly online service. By the way, proper adverb, Nintendo-ly.
Yes. Yeah, so they announced just before we started the show, they gave us some hot details about the online service, which, surprise, surprise, it's not going to be ready this year.
Next year, 2018.
Didn't we mention this on the show that we, or Shipwreck did, or somebody did?
I'll say sure. I'll believe it.
I don't know that I said it was going to be out to 2018, but I know we were talking about how is it not out last week.
I think we predicted that it was going to be delayed. That's what somebody said.
Yeah, we probably said delayed.
Somebody said that on Twitter, that we probably said that. But I don't know. Who knows what the hell we say? I don't remember. So, yeah. So that's a thing. It's coming in 2018. We already know about the smartphone, that you need your smartphone to access it all. We have a price. It's going to be $20 for the year, or $8 for 3 months, or $4 for 1 month. And
there is good news that came out of this.
What's the good news?
They have ditched the one game a month plan.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, now it looks like as long as you're subscribed, you can play as many of the library of classic games as you want.
Oh, nice.
Where do you see that? Oh, subscribers will get to download a compilation of classic titles.
It's just been updated on Kotaku.
I see.
It says that Nintendo Switch Online subscribers will have ongoing access to a library of classic games with added online play. Users can play as many of the games as they want, as often as they like, as long as they have an active subscription.
Interesting.
Launch, the classic game library will include NES games. Okay, now we're back to Nintendo news. We can't get SNES on there at the same time.
We got to start from the beginning.
Yeah. Super NES games will continue to be under consideration, but we have nothing further to announce at this time.
And now we know why another reason why there's no Nintendo Minis.
Because it doesn't have as much value if they're still pumping these things out.
Yeah. Why? Yeah.
It's so dumb. It's only,
Nintendo way.
Like they're just making this up as they go, basically.
Whatever.
Everybody already made it up for them, though.
Yeah,
they don't have to make up anything.
The problem is that exactly. Like Christian Breaks just said, it's not like they're starting from scratch here and coming up with this new robust idea on how to do online play in a streamlined manner. But, Xbox figured that out for them 12 years ago, however long it was.
But they just want to ignore that and just. They're living in a bubble.
Yep.
Their own little world where.
Yep.
So for $20 a year, we're not expecting a great product here, right?
I don't think so.
Expectations are set low.
That library of games, that's not going to be. There's not going to be hundreds of games in there.
Is that going to be worth it? Yeah. Well, right now, I only own one game on the console that doesn't have online gameplay. So, I don't even know I guess we'll see what comes out in 2018 that I'm dying to play online with people.
ARMS and Splatoon.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Did either of you try the ARMS beta test?
I didn't. I saw it was there, but I didn't try it.
I didn't. I would have liked to, but they don't give you a lot of time to make that shit happen. I can wait for it to come out. But I don't think I'm really interested in that. It doesn't sound like
I like something. The character. The character models are good.
Fun.
Yeah, very fun. I'm not sure that, yeah, that's what I'm looking for gameplay-wise. It seems like I would play it for like a day and then be like, well, I'm not playing this against real people because that's not what I want to do. But it's interesting, though, that Nintendo is kind of... And the way that they are modernizing here is that they are kind of building everything around esports. Like, all of these games that they're putting out, Mario Kart, Splatoon, ARMS, they're all, like, competitive multiplayer games.
Is Mario Kart really an esport? I don't...
It could be.
I mean...
I'm sure there's an esport league for Mario Kart.
Okay.
Sure there is. Gotta be.
Well, yeah, and isn't there some tournament at E3? I remember
two of them. There's one for ARMS and one for Splatoon.
But the game's not even out yet. Neither of those games are out yet. How can you have a tournament?
I don't know. They're doing it.
How do you get? How do you know who the good players are? Nobody's played it.
They've already identified those players.
I see. All right, that sounds great. Sounds like they got it all worked out.
Wombat, one of those players. How's Zelda going, Wombat?
Mm-hmm. Zelda's going. It's a game I have.
Uh-oh.
I want to like it a lot more than I do. I guess I have certain expectations, not just of Zelda games, but of games in general.
In 2017?
In 2017. In this, and not even in 2017. Expectations of games from, like, I don't know, forever. And this game doesn't seem to have them.
But you need your dog, Zelda. You like Zelda.
I love Zelda. I've played many, many a Zelda game. I recently named a Zelda game the Game of the Year with the 3DS one, where he turns 2D and 3D, and he goes through the cracks in the walls.
Link Between Worlds.
Yeah, Link Between Worlds. That game was bananas awesome. If you haven't played that game, by the way, play that, because that game's amazing. This game, I don't know. It starts off, you know, fine. You're on the plateau. It's fairly straightforward. You collect the four things, and then you can get off the plateau. And there's some really good puzzles in there. Even the things that, you know, and I said that's a shipwreck, which I thought was really cool. You know, for me, it was the last shrine of that set that I did, where you have to go to the top of a really cold mountain, and you have to figure out a way to get to the top of the really cold mountain without, you know, freezing to death. And it's, you could take a torch, you could get a sweater, there's all sorts of stuff you could do. And I did the torch method, and I don't know, it was a neat thing to figure out how to get up there, and knowing that there were multiple ways to do it. And I'm like, oh, I like where this is going.
That's pretty much what the game is throughout.
But it isn't. Because there are certain expectations that I have of a game in general that this game doesn't seem to... I don't know if it just doesn't have it, or maybe it is just me. I don't know.
What are these expectations?
Well, so I go and I get the main quest, find the four beasts. And those are the big main dungeons. I get it. I go to the one that's shaped like an elephant.
Sure, that's where most people go first, yeah.
Yeah. So I go to that. I'm like, okay, I'll do this mission. First of all, we got to stop with the wall of text position. It's way too much text position in this game. I don't need 20 minutes of me hitting the A button over and over and over and over and over again to get to what's coming next. Either have someone tell me what I'm doing or cut it down to a sentence. Because it's wholly unnecessary for there to be 20 minutes of text in a game in 2017. It's ridiculous. The game also relies a lot on, like, standing up high and looking out with your binoculars to see what's out there.
Huh?
But the, you know, like when you're on the top of the tower to find shrines. It's one of the first things they tell you in the tutorial. Stand up top. Look for the shrines. Mark them on a map. I'm like, okay.
I did that for maybe three or four times during that the whole game.
See, I go up and I try to do it because I think, oh, that's where I'll find probably the best way to find the shrines from up high. Nope. But the draw distance in the game is so terrible that it's useless.
I didn't find that to be an issue.
Oh, I see.
I'm not trying to do what you're doing.
When I'm going through places and then all of a sudden there's like, oh, and here's five bad guys that are just going to pop in. Well, it kind of sucks.
What?
There's a lot of popping in the game. Like when you're just like in the field.
You're not like just walking up and all of a sudden there's guys there. They're
pretty much.
That would be pretty far away. What is this game you're playing?
I don't know. Maybe I find that the draw distance of the game is really bad. But anyway, so I'm in the dungeon. I get there. I do the whole thing. It says climb the mountain. I climb the mountain, collect the arrows. I'm doing a quest and I'm enjoying it. I get the arrows. I do the thing where you have to get on the guy's back and shoot the arrows. I do that. I open the dungeon. I go in the dungeon. And it's like, okay, you gotta get the map. And I'm like, I know this. This is Zelda. It feels comfortable. It feels like home. This is Zelda. Solve the puzzles. Fight the boss. Got it. I solve the puzzles. I go to fight the boss. Now here's, I guess, where the disconnect came in to play with me here. I solve the puzzles. I'm in the dungeon. Traditionally in a Zelda game, either something you find in the dungeon or something you would get right before the dungeon is the key to defeating the boss. And usually defeating the boss has some sort of, you know, like a trick to it, something to keep it interesting and not just hit the boss. That was basically it. Was, you know, A, just hit the boss, and B, you know, you need to, like, you know, be prepared for it, which kind of requires you after you've solved all of these puzzles and climbed this mountain. And yes, I know it's fast travel, so it's not like it takes a lot of time, but the whole idea of, okay, now leave the dungeon that you just solved all the puzzles and unlocked all the doors to get to this point. Now you're going to leave there. And now you're going to go and collect, you know, you're going to need more arrows, so make sure you go collect more arrows. And you're going to need to get some food, so make sure you go out there and collect more food. You may need to get a better weapon, so go fight some guys to get some better weapons and then come back. And that is poor game design. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have to leave.
I never had that happen to me.
And that's exactly what I had to do, because every time I tried to fight this boss, I was dying because I just didn't have good enough stuff. But you would assume that in the dungeon that you're in, the stuff would either be there, because that's, you know, at least decent game design. I'm not saying it has to be easy. I'm just saying don't make me leave, come back, spend 45 minutes or 2 hours trying to get the stuff I do need. You know, cooking, standing there and cooking up recipes for 15 minutes.
You don't have to do that. I cooked like two items throughout the whole game. Just eat the raw ingredients.
I wouldn't be able to have beaten that boss without having the food to get my hearts back.
Raw food gives you hearts back too.
I know, but not as many. Not nearly as many.
Well, but then you don't have to cook it.
Yeah. But I could cook something and get all my hearts back with one item.
Okay. Or you could just hit that same item five times.
Yeah.
In the item screen.
Again,
and get
it
all
does,
your hearts
it,
back.
It still doesn't matter. I shouldn't have to go through this whole process to go fight the boss in the dungeon that I just solved all the puzzles in.
Okay, I agree that the dungeons and the bosses are pretty much forgettable in this game, because you were having, like, you told me you fought this guy like three times for hours long, and I literally just remembered shooting him with the arrows that it suggested going into that dungeon with.
Well, I did. And I had. I got. It. You know, it. They even tell you collect 20 arrows. I collected the 20 arrows, but you use them for something before that. So I just didn't have that many left. Then, you know, a lot of people suggested, well, just go back up to that hill and get more of those arrows. And I went up there, and there weren't that many left. There just weren't any up there anymore. So I just went to a store, and bought fire arrows, which did the trick.
There's one of the fish people will give you those arrows as well if you do a quest for him.
Yeah, and it just seemed, it was silly. I mean, it's not that it's a bad game, and it's not that I'm not playing it, and it's not even that I hate it. I don't hate it, but it's an 8 at best right now for me. I do not fathom how it got the high scores it got. Because it actually has a lot of the same flaws as Mass Effect.
Okay, I have not played Mass Effect yet, but go for it.
It's just no, the open world is not as well thought. I don't find it to be as well thought out.
Yeah, okay.
I think things could have been a little more streamlined and a little bit better placed. I think that there's a lot of going back and forth when going back and forth is unnecessary, and there's a lot of unnecessary conversations to pad the game length. And
you played this game right.
Those I find are flaws in both games. It's just too much.
How many shrines have you been in?
I don't know. Let's see. I have 6 hearts, and my stamina's increased once. Let's see. 4.
It's only like 12 shrines or something.
12, yeah. Yeah, 12.
That's
maybe,
not very
maybe
many.
More. Maybe 13. 13, 14, we'll say.
Okay. That's not... okay.
None. It's more than a quarter of the... It's more than a quarter of them.
More than a quarter of the shrines. No, it's not.
I thought there was 40.
No, there's 190 or something like that.
Oh, why did I read online there were 40 shrines? Then why aren't I finding a shrine like every 3 feet?
That's a good question, because it beeps when you're near one. And that's much easier to find them that way than
I'm not finding that many shrines.
This is not getting me interested in going back to it.
I think it's a great game.
I know you do.
Breath of the Wild is filled with over 100 shrines. I think it's a significantly more, like, it's a large number. I forget what the number is right now, but I don't know. I think you are...
There are 120 shrines.
Okay, 120.
120. So I've done 10%. Tenth of them.
Do more shrines?
I guess. I don't know.
The shrines are the most interesting.
Although the last show we did, I said, "What should I do?" And you told me I should be doing the main quest. So that's what.
Well, that gets you. That gets you. I didn't realize you had not done anything. Pretty much.
I unlocked a good chunk of the map. I did that.
I know that. Yeah, I did that too when I started. I went and I unlocked all of the towers when I started playing. I just went and did all the towers, so I got the full map. And by doing that, I probably got like 20 something, 30 something shrines.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not good at this game.
Get good.
Yeah, I guess I just have to get good. I'll do my best.
I just have to find the style that suits you while you're playing it. It seems like you're trying to make it something that it's not.
I don't know. I just want it to be a Zelda game.
It's not. It's not that.
I know.
That.
I know.
You can't
and
go
that's,
into that. Think of it
and
as
that's
a,
my problem with it.
Think of it as
I
a Far Cry
the Zelda game.
Game
to be a Zelda
Far
game.
A Far Cry game or a Oblivion
it's,
type
but
game.
It's not like, but it's not like those games either. It's not as good
as
Far Cry.
It's a lot like a Far Cry game.
It is a lot like a Far Cry game, but it's not as good as a Far Cry game.
I... Don't
it's not
that
as good
true.
As it's not as good as Far Cry 3. It isn't.
I don't think that's true.
I agree with Wombat.
It's. I don't know. Far Cry gets awfully samey to me.
But Far Cry 3 is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It was a good game. I don't disagree with that. But I don't think that. I think this is a very good game as well.
I've been playing it often. I played it last night. I played it this morning on the train. I don't like to take the Switch with me on days when it rains, and it's pretty much rained every day. And today it didn't rain, so I took the Switch with me. I've been playing it on the train. I've been playing it at home.
Maybe you need to do some more shrines, and then that would make you good enough to enjoy what the game has to offer.
I guess. I don't know. And it that's part of the... I mean, my not being good at it may be part of the frustration of it. Maybe I just, don't want Zelda souls. I want something that's requires, yeah, I don't know, something a little more relaxing.
All right. Fair enough. Keep us updated.
Yeah. I mean, I spent $400 on this stupid game. I'm going to play it.
Exactly. At Akokonus asked,
I could have bought a refrigerator instead of bought that stupid game.
Are you surprised nobody has made an aftermarket dock for the Switch yet? $90 is a lot, and a $50 aftermarket would be nice. I think it's a proprietary system they got there for displaying, for outputting the signal to the TV. I don't think it's like you can just plug a cable in. There's some chip in the dock that is doing something, and that has not been reverse engineered or whatever. It's just so. You're stuck. At Epo Beerus, I don't know how to say his name, but he's a longtime listener. A non-portable Nintendo Switch with a $200 price tag. Discuss.
Sure.
What's more possible? What's more probable? A non-portable Switch with a $200 price tag, or a portable Switch that is portable only, doesn't output to a TV, and the Joy-Cons don't come off. It's just a whole one unit for $200. What do you think is more likely? Shipwreck.
I think the portable one's more likely.
Okay.
We've discussed this several times.
I know.
We've had this conversation like 9 times.
Well, not in the last month, though. People forget. I agree that I think the portable version, like a portable one with less features for a cheaper price, is more likely to take the place of the 3DS at some point when they can't just pump out another iteration anymore. But it seems like that's not slowing down at all. Well, let's move on to Sony really quick. Everybody let me know on Twitter that Prey got a PS4 Pro update. Everybody, including Wombat, let me know. I checked it out, and I also watched the Digital Foundry video on it. There's no resolution bump or really anything like really super noticeable about the visual upgrade. They did fix the controller lag, which is key, but they apparently have introduced a fluctuating frame rate now. It does not hold steady at 30 frames per second. It sort of bounces lower than that. And the Digital Foundry said it's one of the worst instances of that they've ever seen. So that's not good. And that's on the PS4 Pro only has that problem. So Shipwreck, you were really right. I remember when the Pro was announced, you were very skeptical that they could make this work properly and that they would be able to nail having, you know, get two versions of the game working properly. And that does seem to be a legitimate problem. And it's disappointing.
Yeah, we'll see how Scorpio handles it.
Yeah. I'm hoping that because it's more PC-based, that it's somehow handles it more like a PC. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. There's a gold PS4 price, gold PS4 coming for $250. It's 1 terabyte. It was some photo leaked from Walmart. So that's something that's happening.
Good for them.
That should be big in China.
Mm-hmm.
Or Asia in general. At Sinlax writes in and says, first off, love the show. And second, how do you feel about PSVR with Farpoint and future titles to use the gun? There's not going to be any more games titles using that gun. That's it. Right? Is that why you were laughing, Ship?
Maybe one more. Somebody else will use it a little bit, right?
Time Crisis.
No, I don't think I.
Time Crisis VR.
Think about it. Now you have to rely on. Oh, you mean they'll bundle it with the game again somehow?
Well, I think somebody will just like add that support into their digital title or something.
That could be something that happens, but I don't think you would see another game unless it's like a first party thing and they're going to bundle the gun in, because I mean, look, you're already segmenting the market so much by only having a PSVR title. You're going to go and take it another layer by making the only going after the people who have the gun. It seems like a recipe for losing money.
Well, I mean, it would use both, right? You're just making two different control schemes.
That's the only way, because otherwise you're doomed.
Still, you're throwing more money into something.
Yeah, it seems unlikely that you're going to see that.
Some people love Farpoint, though.
I did notice that. I'll think about it when. I mean, it can't be. It's already not that expensive at Best Buy, probably. Well, maybe one day it'll come into my house. Let's move on to the CAG bag. Maybe we can skip the CAG bag because Wombats probably needs to go to bed.
Kind of. I have to go to work in the morning. I didn't get home until late tonight. This week's been horrible. It's literally been one shit day after another.
Well, the trains have been all messed up.
Well, I don't even want to think about the trains. I can't do that to myself.
My wife got on. They messed up the trains yesterday, and then Mrs. Cheapy got on the wrong train coming home, and wound up at my parents' house.
Well, what can you do?
Right, I could have my parents drive her here. That's what I did.
Nice.
All right, let's wrap it up for everybody's sake, especially Wombats. Let's remind you to follow us on Twitter at CheapyD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, at Video Game Deals. I'll remind you to go to HelloFresh.com and use coupon code CADCAST30 to save $30 off your first week of deliveries when you subscribe. I think you'll really enjoy it. I love it. And we will see you next week.
Preston.
Kevin Bacon is making sure that we know that RefreshEverything.com is available to you. You can vote on everything else. Now, I know you may not want to talk about this, but the phones have lit up here at SiriusXM, and everybody wants to know, you know, the fucking Bernie Madoff thing. And I've lost money investing and everything else, but they've made it into this big deal. Did you know this guy personally?
I don't think Kevin? I want to talk about that.
You don't want to talk? Okay, all right. Because I want to say that in my life, as an I've lost too, but they always, you know, make it out to be, you know, with this guy, it's bigger and worse and everything else. And I was just wondering if in life, sometimes you invest and shit happens.
Shit does happen.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. So that's that. Still there, Kev?
I'm here.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I brought that up if it pissed you off. I wasn't told not to, so I didn't, you know.
No, no.
All right. All right. Well, I took this fucking thing down, didn't I? Kev, let's recover now, and then we'll...
No, I'm here.
All right. Well, gee, Kev, now come on. I asked one little tiny question. Come on.
Do you have another question for me?
No, I feel badly now. I feel bad.
No, don't feel badly. Don't feel badly.
You want to ask me? I got my ass kicked, too. You can ask me a couple of things.
Right. Well.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I thought you'd say, well, it happened, whatever the fuck, blah, 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 whatever. But I didn't know it was going to cause like a big rift, like a huge.
It's not.
Now it's 90 degrees of separation between us.